Movies On Up, episode 15, Shoot First, Sight See Later. I'm Ryan.
I'm Dave.
And together, we Voltron ourselves into Ryan and Dave of the Movies On Up with Ryan and Dave. Shoot First, Sight See Later is our tagline for this particular episode. Do you know what movie it's from?
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of the few I do know.
Yeah,
because I love the movie so much.
You love the movie. We've talked about it, not just last week, but
a couple
weeks.
It gets brought up quite a bit, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're a regular listener to the pod, you'll be at least familiar with this movie. If you don't know the tagline, if you know the plot of the movie,
that's an easy one though. I'm sure if you Google, that's probably the first thing that comes up.
I would think so. I didn't
because that's a good tagline.
Yeah,
that's a really
it is.
Good
it fits
tagline.
The movie well. I'm not trying to stump anybody. I'd like people to win. What can you win exactly? Well, that's to be determined based on your entry. How can you enter? If you think you know the tagline for this week, you can send it to us in an email at moviesonup@gmail.com. You can get at us on our Twitter at moviesonup, or if you go to our webpage, moviesonup.com, you can click on our Facebook tab, go over to the Facebook, and you can get us there.
Yeah, and not just for the tagline contest. If we say anything you disagree with, or if we bring up a movie that we say we don't see and you want to just interact with us. We want it to be a conversation. So
let us know
chip
you're
in.
Out there.
Yeah.
This week on the pod, holy shit, comics. We got a bunch of comic news that we're going to get to right out of the top. News from both Marvel and DC. We also got some, if you're a child of the 80s, we've got some updates on Bill and Ted, Alf, Bob Hoskins, The X-Files, and more, plus trailers for movies that include, but not limited to, Paul Rudd, Wolverines, Sex Tapes, Kristen Stewart, giving a double handy.
Yeah. I think that scene's in the trailer, too. I think there's a glimpse of that scene in the trailer.
If there's a glimpse of it, like, I guess I didn't notice what she was doing. She's doing a lot of gyrating in that trailer.
Yeah.
What trailer, you ask? We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Just hang out. Hang out with us. It'll be towards the end, but it'll be worth the wait. I promise.
Just getting on the road now, but we'll end up there.
Spoiler alert. That's the name of the movie. So be on the lookout for when we start talking about On the Road. If you're into Kristen Stewart, double handies and maybe double Ds.
Like a dude on each side.
She's downhill skiing.
I think while they're driving.
While, wait, she's in the back of the car,
no,
right?
With middle dudes? Of the front seat.
Oh, okay.
And the dude, driver and the passenger, and
she's double
skiing,
stick shifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we probably don't even need to talk about that movie when we get there.
Probably
all
not. Talk
about is her boobs and a double
I
handy.
Think that's all there is to talk about that movie.
All right. Well, we'll probably gloss over that again when we get there, because I have terrible short-term memory. I will forget if we talked about it. A movie not necessarily in this one, but the previous movies, the character, the whole plot of it was he forgot. He had a really shitty short-term memory, worse than me, forgot who he was. And that is, of course, Jason Bourne. This one, I guess, I didn't see it.
Aaron Cross knows who he is.
He knows exactly who the hell he is. He's not Jason Bourne. And I guess from what the box office showed, this movie, not the earlier incarnations of Bourne either.
It actually did as well, better than the first one. The Firstborn.
Oh, good for them.
Firstborn. But not as good as the second and third. So, Bourne Legacy took number one at the box office. We set the over-under at 35. Ryan said over. I said over. It came in over at 38 million. So, it seemed to, the reviews seemed mixed. Critics seemed to not like it. Word of mouth seemed to really like it. Like, just random moviegoers. So, I still want to see it. I'm not letting that
scared off. I'll be honest with you. Like,
it's not a terrible opening. Like, I think the studio wanted in that 45 to 50 range to open up with. They're not far off of that.
No, they didn't fall too far.
It's a 125 budget, so they're going to come close probably. By the end of the week, it'll probably be in the 50-55 range. So it depends on how it holds over. And number two was the other wide release, The Campaign. We put over under at 35 again. Ryan went over. Dave went under. The Campaign went under with $26.5 million. And I've heard it's really good. I've heard a lot of people saying it'll surprise you.
It looked funny. I'm not a giant Will Ferrell fan. I'm not really huge into Galifianakis either. I like them both. And I think that because they're both in the movie and they have to be at most like 50% of the movie, then I won't get too much of either one. So
our devoted listener, Tyler Moliterno, actually saw a preview of it like early last week and tweeted at us, gave us two tweets. The campaign was very entertaining. Both Will and Zach are great. Plenty of fun cameos. Dylan McDermott is subtly great. The film also does a great job of making its audience change with which politician to root for, never citing one over another. So it seems like it's plays that.
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, but I've heard Zach is just really good in it, which is good because he's the same character in the Hangover movies and Due Date, and then it's kind of a funny story, just kind of got shoved under the rug.
Yeah.
So he can act.
Oh, like, definitely.
So I mean, yeah, this isn't the kind of, but like
this is
it's him
showing off his acting.
It's not showing off his acting chops, but it's not being the same thing.
Right.
So I'll see it eventually. I'm more excited to see it now after hearing word of mouth. But rest the box office. Dark Knight Rises finally slips from number one to number three with just under $19 million. It's $389 million right now, domestic. It's over $800 million worldwide.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Hope Springs debuted a lot bigger than I think anybody anticipated. It opened on Wednesday, $14.6 million. Since its opening, it's $19 million. So that's got to be right there by its budget.
I was going to ask if they had budget information on it.
Not yet, because it's opening weekend. A lot of times they don't. Total Recall down 69% to $8 million.
Forget about that one.
It sits at $44 million after 2 weeks. Other than that, there's not much worth bringing up. The Red Hook Summer and 2 Days in New York did okay. Each Red Hook was on 4 screens for $40,000. 2 Days in New York was on 2 screens for just under $24,000. So they didn't do awful, but they're not like blowing anybody away. So
sounds kind of like we were in Red Hook just a couple seconds ago with that police siren that came whizzing through here.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd mention that. Yeah, that happened. You heard it's not at your crib. It's over here. So don't worry about it. Police aren't coming to get you.
Yeah, but
something we mentioned, like I think in our first episode, our first official episode, was
the first one. The first episode was titled "Don't Fuck Up Whedon."
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought, but I didn't want to misspeak so early into the podcast. But one thing we were worried about was Marvel's penchant for not retaining directors, with the exception of Favreau doing Iron Man 1 and 2.
And then you get Comic-Con come, and there's no Whedon announcement for the Avengers.
I was trying to figure out what Comic-Con come was. I thought maybe that was like...
It's what happens after hours.
That's what happened after Marvel announced this week that Joss Whedon will, in fact, be directing the Avengers 2. Also be writing it. We're looking for a release, again, early in May. Speaking of Comic-Con come... release in May.
Well, here's the thing. He's under exclusive contract until June 2015, so it's got to be out before then.
Yeah, like and, we have May. So
yeah,
that's...
they're looking. I think the weekends fall. I think May 1st is a Friday. Because this one was an early May release.
Yeah,
and it did okay.
Yeah.
Or they're thinking late May. I think it'd be the 22nd, leading into
Memorial Day,
but. He's under exclusive contract until 2015. So not only is he going to be writing and directing the Avengers, he's going to help guide Phase 2 kind of like he did. He took a pass at the first Captain America script. He took a pass at the Hulk. Like he was doing,
He had his hands in all the
He had his hands in there, yeah. So it looks like he's going to do the same on Phase 2.
Which makes sense. If all of these stories kind of, and they did sort of work together in the original Avengers, they're gonna have to work together in so that you can pull a little bit to make the second Avengers. So it is good that you have a guy that's committed to bring all of them together, and he'll have a little bit of input into the individual threads that he's going to use to make his movie. Now also he will be help developing the television project that is supposed to take place in the Avengers universe, which will be on ABC. Of course, parent company Disney.
Yeah.
Synergy.
I mean, I realize this was a movie podcast, but if you're a Whedon fan, it's probably from his TV shows. So
definitely.
he'll develop one, and this one might last more than 13 episodes, which would be awesome.
So well, I mean, Buffy lasted a little
Dollhouse
bit more than
got 2 seasons. Yeah. Yeah. No, he gets... Firefly's really the only one that was taken away. But I'm bitter
Firefly.
About that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's going to be developing... They don't know if it's... They haven't really said what it is, if it's a Heroes for Hire, if it's S.H.I.E.L.D. There's a number of ways they could go with it.
Yeah, there was that thing a while ago. I think it was a webisode where... Oh, shit. Was it Lizzie Kaplan that was in it? They found one of those alien weapons from the alien bad guys, whoever the hell they were. I don't even remember at this point.
Oh, in the Avengers?
Yeah. They found a weapon from these aliens. It was left in New York after the Avengers kicked everybody's asses. And... You know, they were, I don't know if they were going to rob a bank with it or what they were going to do. But there was, I mean, some sort of webisode, which I didn't watch because it didn't have Thor. So what the hell did I care? But I'm kind of wondering if the television show will be in that kind of vein.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're
it'll
superheroes,
be.
But
yeah, there's a number of ways they could go with it. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. But we're going to have to wait on that one for a while. The important news is they didn't fuck up Whedon.
Yeah.
So, Cyclical, first podcast, put to rest.
Good on you. Good on you, Marvel.
Way to go. DC, not to be bested, has picked Daredevil to be the leader of the Justice League. Now, will he or won't he? Variety says yes. Deadline says that Ben Affleck's people have already said no. As far as we know, he's been the only directing candidate that has been sent a copy of the script that had been written by Will Beale of Gangster Squad fame. May end up in front of the camera as well, which is kind of his penchant, if he chooses to
kinda.
Direct it.
But well, I mean, out
Argo,
of three, out of Argo and the town he starred in, Gone Baby Gone, he didn't. I trust Ben Affleck enough as a director. If he did do this, I think he would just stay behind. This is different. Like, it's different being in front of the camera and behind it for something this large. I think he's smart enough to realize that.
Yeah, I would think so. But I mean, he does have, obviously he's played Daredevil. He's played played Superman.
Yeah.
And he was in talks. Well, not, I don't know how much he was in talks, but his name was being thrown around to play Superman a while ago.
Yeah.
In the reboot.
I mean, I think he's a great, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but it gives you the idea where DC's looking. Like, if he's their first choice, it kind of gives you an idea what they want. For as far as a director of the Justice League, which I like the direction of it.
Do you think
it.
They're going after him because, you know, he's got some critical acclaim to him, or do you think because he respects the source material?
Probably both.
So then,
because can't just go get a name direct. You got to get somebody that cares.
The next question would be, okay, if you can't get Affleck, who do you get?
I don't know.
Somebody? I might have a guess, and he's not far from the Affleck tree.
Matt Damon?
No, it's not Matt Damon, but it's
Kevin Smith.
Yes, that's kind of what I was thinking.
You'd have to move a camera to do justice. I don't want to badmouth Kevin Smith because he is this.
He
might
be Cameron Cop Out, which was not a great movie.
I enjoyed it. This might be too big for him. Plus, he wants to be done.
That's what I was gonna say. I think that's what it is, more or less. You know, he's said that he's kind of made. He's in the process of making his last movies. And he moved the camera on Red State, too.
No, yeah, he's getting better.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
this,
definitely.
That's still different scales, Red State and Justice League.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Because it's not that I don't think he can. I don't think he's interested in this kind of scale of movie.
I don't know.
Because you look at Dogma was probably his most like epic, ambitious one. And it was still kind of shot cookie cuttery. I mean, granted, that was 12, 14 years ago, I love Dogma. I'm not bad-mouthing it, but...
It's probably more than that. Like, 12 years ago,
it was
98.
I think it was 98.
Right.
But, like, I don't think he wants these big-scale...
You know, I would tend to agree with you, but at the same time, if it was a comic movie, that could be the one exception I think he might make. And you know, we're just talking on our asses right now.
Oh yeah, no, we just
maybe it'll be Affleck, maybe it won't.
As long as it's not Snyder.
Well, I mean, I think they pretty much come out and said that it's not going to be Snyder, and unless they can find somebody else, you know, I don't think it will be. Who knows though? If everybody passes on,
I mean, Ben Affleck came out of left field. I did not expect that. But so who knows where the next one will come from? But still, that second choice, like that's always going to be there. Like,
yeah. we kind of mentioned that maybe Daredevil was DC's first choice to helm the Justice League project. Fox, on the other hand, Daredevil definitely the second choice. They've picked Fantastic Four over the Daredevil project, which means that the Daredevil rights...
Buckle up, because this one gets confusing.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead, and we're going to plow through this. So just stick with me for a couple seconds, and then we'll kind of try and break it down a little bit. Daredevil's rights will revert back to Marvel Disney if a project is not in production by October 10th. Fox has a script they like, but David Slade recently backed out of the entire project, and it kind of puts things in jeopardy that they're not going to be able to get it started by the 10th. Joe Carnahan recently approached the studio with his take on the project, and Marvel was willing to extend the rights in exchange for the rights to Galactus and Silver Surfer, but that would kind of fuck Josh Trank when he's trying to reboot the Fantastic Four. In the end, Fox seems like they're willing to let Daredevil go back to Marvel.
That's it, in a nutshell.
Kind of. A big nutshell.
Yeah, a big nutshell. Because Fox really likes this Daredevil script. They really liked the David Slade film that was going to happen. But he stepped out about a month ago. They're scrambling because they have to be in production.
In production by October.
So Joe Carnahan just came last week, and they have to, that's not even fast tracking. That's unreasonable to be in production by then. And Marvel, I think it was just a ploy, they could find places for Galactus and Silver Surfer, but they don't need them. So,
I guess you think of all the superheroes to find their way back to Marvel Disney.
It's got
to
be Daredevil.
Of course. Exactly. I mean,
Daredevil could be a cool movie, but he doesn't need to be in the Avengers. I mean, maybe they need to start doing one-off ones that are in the same universe, but not necessarily
That's what
connected.
I was going to ask. You wouldn't put him in the Avengers.
No. Daredevil could be a good movie that takes place in the same realm, but he doesn't have to be connected to the Avengers. They have the rights to the Punisher.
Yeah.
They could start doing these one-off movies, and screw it. If Punisher and Daredevil cross paths, that works.
Yeah, I think there could be room for that, or even just a very brief cameo, you know, in a larger Avengers movie,
yeah,
where maybe, Affleck's not wearing this. Maybe he's not wearing the Daredevil suit. Maybe he's wearing the lawyer suit.
Well, it wouldn't be Affleck.
Well, no, probably not. Especially if he's
directing
the Justice League.
And Fox has they're putting a lot of confidence in this Fantastic Four reboot with Josh Trank, the guy that did Chronicle. So you kind of need Galactus for Fantastic Four.
Right.
Since they butchered it the first time, but so they're gonna lose Daredevil, and just hope Fantastic Four turns into a franchise.
I hope it is fantastic. Justin Theroux won't be directing any supergroup movie. I swear to God, he will rewrite the script, which he's done before for Tropic Thunder and Iron Man 2. Then direct the comedy super duo of Will Ferrell and Steve Carell in Swear to God, where Will Ferrell plays a hedge fund manager that claims to have seen God. Really don't know what Steve Carell plays in the movie. Couldn't find that. Probably plays a funny guy.
Justin Theroux recently engaged to the J-Ann, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, I was like, I don't know who J-Ann
is. No, it's good to see him direct. He's been getting writing gigs, but he directed a movie with Billy Crudup and Mandy Moore, 2007-ish, called Motivation, that was awesome. It was actually really good. He had a really cool, unique vision. It wasn't the most unique story, but how it was told was awesome. So I want to see him direct more. So I think he's multi-talented, because he stole the show in Wanderlust.
Yeah, I mean,
he's an awesome actor.
I think he's one of those guys that, you know, definitely people, I think a lot of people probably would recognize him more as an actor. He does have a lot of screenwriting credits, big screenwriting credits.
Yeah.
And Tropic Thunder and Iron Man 2. I mean, say what you want about the movies, they were both huge movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, now getting more run as a director, I mean, the guys, they call that a triple threat.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like, oh, they just threw him a directing project. It's Will Ferrell, Steve Carell.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
put those two in a movie together, you're expecting something at the box office.
Yeah, and I think obviously Will Ferrell still got a little juice. We talked a bit about his last movie a couple minutes ago, and Yeah, that could end up being a pretty good comedic team. Another pretty good comedic team, Bill and Ted, the excellent sequel, has a new director. Dean Pearshott of Galaxy Quest is now attached to the project, which already has Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves on board. MGM still owns the rights, which typically is a bit of a problem for movies that are owned by MGM with their money problems right now. And Pearshott is already directing Red 2, which means we probably won't hear much about this movie for a while.
You know what? I was torn on this movie. I'm kind of interested because it seems like it's going to be darker because it's Bill and Ted now,
yeah,
knowing that they write the song that changes the world, but they haven't yet. So it's just them is whatever age they are now, just with that weight on their shoulder of like, we're supposed to change the world, but we haven't. So they go into the future and meet different versions of themselves that are mad at them for not writing the song by now. It sounds awesome. Yeah. Like, it sounds like it could be cool.
And I think, I want to say, like, Alex Winter was involved with a script several years ago. This is how long this project's been kind of in the hopper. But it was a pretty dark script as well. Now, I can't remember too many of the details about it. But, yeah, it seemed like it was more of an adult Bill and Ted, and it should be.
Which it needs to be. Yeah. You're not going to relaunch it for a younger generation.
No, they're
like,
not going to give a shit.
It needs to be for us.
Exactly. And
just like
I guess we're more adults.
Yeah, whatever. Just like that new Pee-wee project they talked about, yeah, where it needs to be for us, because yeah, you're not relaunching it to children.
No, the kids have got their Dora the Explorers.
Kids have their own Pee-wees to worry about.
Did you see Galaxy Quest?
I haven't, no.
I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie.
I've heard it's good. I hate Tim Allen.
I know.
Like, I have this Tim Allen thing that I've heard it's good. I hate Tim Allen.
I there is an awful lot of Tim Allen, but if you haven't seen Galaxy Quest, it's kind of a fun movie. So yeah, I'm interested to see what this guy will do with Bill and Ted, although that's going to take quite a while. After making Flight his return to live action, Robert Zemeckis will continue that return with Taking Flight, based on the true story of the Barefoot Bandit. That's that cat that steals the airplanes.
He's like a 19-year-old kid that worked, yeah, that was all over the country by stealing airplanes. And it's an interesting story.
Yeah, it's another one of those Dateline things.
Yeah, that's where I saw it too. But, right. I mean, Zemeckis,
God, we're old men.
Keep doing live-action films, please.
About flying airplanes.
Anything. I don't care, as long as they're not stop-motion capture.
Be drunk, be shoeless, whatever you want to do, just make sure it's live-action. L.A. Riot's now a Justin Lin joint. The Fast Five director looks to get more serious, taking over the project Spike Lee was once attached to.
That's cool for him. He's kind of got pigeonholed into this this action director thing, but he started with Better Luck Tomorrow or Better After the Asian movie with John Chu.
Godzilla.
I think it was Better Luck Tomorrow.
Okay.
But like that was a more serious like film, and it'd be interesting to see him go back to that. L.A. Riot's, of course, about what happened after Rodney King. And, yeah.
Which, do you think Spike Lee got out of that project? Because he's like, oh, wait, shit, this is L.A. This is not New York.
He's been out of it, I think, since 2009.
He's been out of it since he found out that Los Angeles was not in New York. Steve Pink, looking to explore sexual perversity in Chicago. The About Last Night remake starring Michael Ealy, Kevin Hart, and Regina Hall. The director would do this before making the Bad Santa sequel.
Yeah, this is supposed to film right at the start of the year. And remember when we announced Kevin Hart was cast as the Jim Belushi role, we were wondering if it was going to be just a black
version
last night.
Of, yeah.
It is. Michael Ealy's the lead, Regina King.
Regina Hall.
Regina Hall's in it, and they're still looking for somebody to fill the Demi Moore role. But Steve Pink's a cool director. Like, I haven't seen About Last Night, so I don't know this. The name of the play it was based on is Sexual Perversity in Chicago. So, I mean,
yeah, that's not a solid name.
No, it'll probably be retitled About Last
Night.
Like
Bitch of War.
Yeah, but
any movie that doesn't have a good title is just called.
But the thing is, it's probably going to be made cheap, and Kevin Hart, he's been making money at the box office quietly.
Yeah, I think we like him. Like he's,
I love him.
Funny
you can,
dude.
You could probably make this for $20 million. It'll probably get that more, opening weekend.
Yeah.
So
I hate to say like follow the Madea model, but
yeah,
follow the Madea
plus
model.
Michael Ealy, I think he's going to blow up into something big too. Like he was on Flash Forward. They were both in
That one with Steve Harvey?
Yeah, the Steve Harvey movie, Think Like a Man.
Yeah, that's it.
So he's just like a good-looking black man. Like, he's a cool dude. Like, I really liked him on Flash Forward. Like, I think he's going to...
You couldn't just leave it at he's a good-looking black man. Like, you couldn't period after that. Like, you had to put something else
in. No, because he's also an awesome actor.
Because you don't want to leave people with the thought of, like, the last thing that Dave said about Michael Ealy was he's a good-looking black dude.
He is, and he's a good actor, so...
You're still doing it. I just want the last thing you say about this guy to be he's a good-looking black dude. Just say it.
No, he's a good actor.
All right, fine. He's not just a pretty face. Christopher McQuarrie has no regrets adapting Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. The book was a spinoff to the Jack Ryan novels and has had trouble getting off the ground due to a very dark and violent plot.
So you bring in Christopher McQuarrie, who traditionally does dark and violent material. I like him as a director. Like, Way of the Gun, to me, is one of the most underrated movies ever.
That's a real good movie.
That's, yeah.
Ryan, like, Phillippe, Benicio Del Toro.
Yes.
Mickey Cat.
Like, it's Taye Diggs.
Yeah.
A good-looking black man who can also act.
Period.
It was an awesome movie, and he kind of didn't do anything for a while. He wrote Valkyrie, but he wrote and directed Jack Reacher, which is...
That Tom Cruise kick you in the dick
a
movie.
A book adaptation, so... They figure, why not do this Tom Clancy book? It's based on the character Clark, which, have you seen many of the Jack Ryan movies?
You know what? I saw the Harrison Ford ones. Like, my dad...
Willem Dafoe was in one of them. It might have been Some of All Fears. Willem Dafoe...
Maybe, because I did not see the Ben Affleck
one. I think
one.
Willem Dafoe played the Clark character in that. But it's a pretty messed up story. Like, it is dark. I think it starts with his pregnant wife being murdered, and then he picks up a hooker. So, I'm interested to see what McQuarrie does with it.
God, I hope Willem Dafoe's doing it. That'd be awesome. Speaking of Keira Knightley, of course, she will play Chris Pine's wife in Kenneth Branagh's Jack Ryan prequel, which will be featuring the character of Jack Ryan. Kevin Costner offered the role of his mentor.
I think the most interesting thing about this, Kevin Costner's back.
Yeah,
he's got
Hatfield McCoy's.
He's had huge, huge ratings and Emmy nominations with Hatfield McCoy. Pa Kent and Superman coming out. This is like the co-lead of Jack Ryan. Like, this is the character that they just offered him is like the second build, like the co-male lead next to Chris Pine. And there's a Luc Besson produced, I forget the name of it, 3 Days to Live or something, that wants Costner as the lead about a hitman that's dying in 3 days and just trying to clean up any loose ends he can. So, I mean, I think Costner is coming back.
I'm okay with that.
It's just weird. In 2013, in The Postman, 2013 was the end of the world. Could be the start.
It could be.
In
right.
reality, it could be the start of Costner's
Maybe this
new.
Is one of the signs of the apocalypse, Kevin Costner's back. Maybe another sign of the apocalypse is another X-Files movie. David Duchovny's on board. He wants to believe that there will be another one on the horizon, or maybe even several. He might be the only person he had mentioned.
Well, him and his girlfriend, because they're dating now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Him and Scully are dating now?
Yeah.
That's hot.
The second one wasn't good.
No. Well, the second one, and he even it said is, it in the article, was they tried to be more like dark and introspective, and it wasn't an action
It was a
movie.
Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Some of those were...
Those were good, but I don't need to shell out $10 to go see one.
Right.
The first X-Files movie was great. I really liked it.
I mean, the series was still going on when the first one came out.
So it's a little easier. And I'm not even going to play... I'm not going to say, oh, the second one was bad because it was too late, because who cares? They could put it out in 2017 for all I care. I'll see an X-Files movie. Just the second one wasn't good.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't necessarily think that could doom... You can't ever do something else.
People still care.
Yeah. And I mean, I think if they could get Chris Carter and if they could get Vince Gilligan back, I mean, that dude coming off Breaking Bad, like, Jesus, he's never going to be
hard. If they approached it as, say, if they took a Prometheus type approach where we're going to make this one movie, but we're going to introduce a bigger story. If it doesn't do well, this movie stands alone on its own.
Yeah.
If it does well, we're introducing this larger story that you can carry out over 2 or 3 movies. If they took that approach to it to where it stands on its own, but it's open-ended enough that they could make a new X-Files trilogy could work. That people care about the characters. People care about the story as long as you execute it. Which if you got everybody involved, It's doable.
Well, I mean, according to Duchovny, everyone is involved. Chris Carter is already, again, according to Mulder, he's working on a new idea. Really no idea what Vince Gilligan's going to do other than count his money. But yeah, maybe we'll get another X-Files movie. We'll just have to kind of wait and see on that one. Hansel and Gretel, witch hunters, may have been dead in the snow, but now on fire with an R rating. Tommy Wirkola, the director of Dead Snow, showed a very R-rated cut of the film starring Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton as all grown-up siblings that are kind of pissed off.
Hansel and Gretel. Killing witches, yeah. Yeah.
And why wouldn't they?
I guess there were two cuts. There was a PG cut, too, or a PG-13 cut,
yeah.
That I guess got no reaction, but the R-rated cut kind of turned some heads, so...
Yeah, and I could see where, especially that director, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's just interesting because you take something like Hansel and Gretel, you're kind of trying to reintroduce it to children, kind of? Like, it's hard to sell as an R-rated movie.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's...
I think it sounds awesome.
Yeah, the idea of it is cool. It's rather than just doing another Hansel or doing a dark version of Hansel and Gretel.
You're doing a really dark,
really violent. Dark. But it's like, hey, what would it really do? Like, let's say that you know these kids did get abducted by a witch. They managed to escape. They're gonna be pissed off,
yeah.
And you know when they're able to, they're gonna start cleaning up some witches. So it's you know projecting the ramifications of a story that we already know.
Plus
so,
Renner kicking ass.
Yeah, and I'm all for that too, and I'm all for ex-Bond girls getting around in movies too. There may be maybe another ex-Bond girl that we'll talk about.
Dakota Fanning?
No. Somebody else. Probably someone that you will talk about her, and you'll have no idea she was in a Bond movie because you've never seen any of them. Yeah. Well, you could the one that this last girl that's in Hansel and Gretel, you should watch that one.
Gemma Arterton?
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember what I've seen her in, but I know I like her.
Clash of the Titans.
No, she was not that.
In a Bond movie. I think she was thrown about for a while for Prometheus. Obviously, that didn't come through for her.
Maybe I think she was Alice Creed in Disappearance of Alice Creed.
So that's where you've seen her from?
Probably.
Okay.
If that's her.
I'm pretty sure that's her. So. It
probably is.
Probably is.
My memory is impeccable.
Yeah, your memory is really good. Peter Sarsgaard, Dakota Fanning, Jesse Eisenberg will be working on their night moves. Eco-terrorist Eisenberg, who replaces Paul Dano, was originally cast in that role, and Sarsgaard will get funding from Fanning, try and say that three times fast, to blow up a dam in Kelly Reichardt's new flick, Kelly Reichardt of Old Joy, Wendy and Lucy, and Meek's Cutoff.
I like Dakota Fanning. I like Peter Sarsgaard. I don't know if the plot's really selling me yet. Meek's Cutoff was slow.
I don't care about the plot. I get the feeling that this could be, you know, an indie director and this could be a slow burn as well. But I think good for Jesse Eisenberg. Like, it doesn't seem like this character is just going to be like, I'm socially awkward, I'm a nerd.
Yeah. So, and he's he's doing cool stuff.
I know. I'm glad when people get a chance to do something that, you know, is kind of against type for them. So, hopefully, you know, he'll at least do a good job in that and won't have to be Michael Cera's double for, you know, the rest of eternity. Donald Faison definitely won't be confused with either of those two gentlemen. He falls into the role of Dr. Gravity in Kick-Ass 2. The cast also includes John Leguizamo and welcomes back Yancey Butler.
Along with the regular recurring Christopher Mintz Pass and Chloe Moretz.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Maybe Nick Cage. We'll see.
I have my doubts on this movie. I know I was excited about it, but just something about it, I'm not feeling it right now.
To be honest with you, I wasn't feeling Kick-Ass before I saw it.
I liked Kick-Ass,
so
but I liked the book Kick-Ass.
Well, yeah, and I didn't read the book.
The second run of Kick-Ass isn't that good.
Well, maybe the movie won't be that good. You won't be surprised. Maybe you will. We'll just have to wait and see.
I do like Faison as a cast. Like, that's good casting. That's good casting.
I'm a fan of him. Despite hating the makeup required to do it, Mickey Rourke will be returning as Marv in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
So they paid him enough.
That's kind of big, though. I mean,
yeah.
I can't really imagine somebody else.
Because he has to be in makeup for like 12 hours, like 12 to 14 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And he's claustrophobic. But one of the best quotes was somebody asked him a while ago, are you going to be in Sin City 2? He says, if they want me bad enough, if you know what I mean.
While pointing to his wallet.
Yeah, so, no, that's kind of cool. I mean, it's just weird that that's actually happening now.
It's been kind of a while.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When the first Sin City came out, like, that, like, was all-time top five movies for me. Like, it shot up.
It was fantastic.
There so quick.
Great. And that's I think we talked either in the pilot that nobody heard or another episode is how studios are stupid. Because that movie was so huge. And just because Grindhouse didn't do well because people didn't understand it, they took it to mean, oh, Robert Rodriguez shouldn't be given money. Where it's like, if you'd have done Sin City 2 then, it'd have been huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's still probably going to do well, but not. You're not cashing in on it like you should have.
Oh, no. I think you'll have the core fans that'll come back. I mean, I'll see it opening night. I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
I would have, even without Mickey Rourke, I still would have saw it, but now I'm totally on board. Will Forte and Bruce Dern on board to drive to Nebraska for Alexander Payne. The duo will play an aging alcoholic and his son on a road trip to claim $1 million publisher's clearinghouse winning.
It seems Alexander Payne's good with characters. It just sounds like this is a Bruce Dern Oscar movie.
And I like Will Forte.
Role for him because if you look at, like, Alexander Payne cast, he does good with his actors. So this is a good role for Will Forte to kind of
show that he
turn the corner and be something else other than just go-to funny guy, which I think he can be.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still think that there's going to be, you know, he will be funny guy in this movie, but, you know, it's when you get a chance to not just be the butt of every joke and not, you know, just put something in your ass, you know.
I still want MacGruber too.
Oh, I do too, but it's good, you know, like we talked about before a little bit with Jesse Eisenberg, getting the chance to do something else. I'm glad when actors are given the chance to do something else. If they fuck it up, they fuck it up, but I don't see him fucking it up.
I don't think Alexander Payne would let him.
No, that's true too. Haley Steinfeld to star in the Blacklist project Dead of Winter. Plot sounds to me a little bit like Funny Games in the Woods. Funny Games was, well, there's two of them.
Two awful, awful movies that are exactly the same. Just one's in one language, one's in the other.
Yeah, they are exactly the same. I don't necessarily think that they're awful.
Oh, okay. Maybe awful's a little too harsh. Fucking terrible, maybe more accurate.
I don't know about that, but I guess the plot is essentially it's a home invasion.
It's the Strangers. It's Funny Games.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's Ills.
We've seen this before. Be directed by a music video guy.
But she's weird. She hasn't really shown up anywhere.
No, I think everybody thought after True Grit, like, this girl is gonna be huge. We haven't seen anything from
her. No.
And now we see this.
Yeah, just like Saoirse Ronan was popping up everywhere in a while. She's got something else in development now, but it's like between those two, you'd think one of them is breaking out. And
yeah, there's the adage, you know, you strike while the hammer's hot, which, you know, we've seen
which
from
they're
Dakota
not yet.
Fanning. She did that. Now she's kind of, I don't know, like, counting her money too, I guess.
Yeah, she needs to get back to doing something. Well, those,
you know,
Twilights.
Maybe that eco-terrorism flick will reignite her career. Heather Graham, if you care, will be returning for Hangover 3.
She should have been in the second one. It was so dumb. I don't even want to talk about it. But it's cool that she's returning back. But, I mean, I don't even think I'll see the third one. I saw the second one on DVD. I love the first one. No need for the second one. It was just, who cares? Third one, who cares? But she should have been in the second one.
Rosamund Pike to witness the world's end alongside Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
I put that in because Rosamund Pike is our second Bond girl that we're going to mention.
I was just looking her up because I don't know who
she
is. Yeah.
Yep. Die Another Day.
Did she play Alice Creed in Disappearance of Alex Creed?
No, I think that was a different
Funny
Bond
though.
It was Halle Berry.
She was actually in Wrath of the Titans. The other one was in Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
So she's in Wrath.
Yeah. And I've actually seen both of those. Yeah, neither of them were any good, really. Neither of them. This movie, obviously, like, we're high on World's End. We've talked quite a bit about that. And now they got a hot chick who doesn't really do comedy. So it could be...
I trust Edgar Wright.
Yeah, I do too. But we'll see. Maybe this will be kind of a breakout role for her and she'll be able to do some comedy now. Lionsgate, not ready to see Saw stay down. The studio already considering a remake of the 2004 film, which could relaunch the franchise, but they're also not ruling out moving ahead with an eighth installment. despite dubbing the seventh one the final chapter, which we've seen that before.
Yeah, so it's just they don't. Friday
the 13th did that.
It's just they don't want it to be done because it makes too much money and it's made for too cheap.
Yeah.
But I think a few years is good for them because they were every Halloween year, yeah. From 04 to 11 or 10.
Yeah, I would say like maybe when so, the 3D one came out.
Maybe some time off is good. I don't think remake. It wouldn't even be a remake. That's the kind of thing you can reinvent and relaunch without dubbing it a remake.
Renumber?
Yeah.
I guess you could, and I think they sort of did that a little bit when they kind of killed Jigsaw.
Yeah.
And they had someone take over for him, but yet they still had the character of Jigsaw in there.
I mean, there's ways to do it. It's just, long story short, it makes too much money. Made for too cheap.
Yeah, but
if they wait 2 or 3 years and put out a Saw movie at Halloween, people are gonna see it.
Yeah, no, people aren't gonna forget. But I think to me, Saw is more just like a template than it is.
Oh, it an absolutely actual movie. Is. It absolutely.
So yeah,
is.
Like what difference does it make whether it's a reboot, whether it's a sequel? I mean, it's 1 + 1 + 1 equals a Saw movie. So, ALF is landing. The Smurfs producer Jordan Koerner is working with the show creator Tom Patchett and puppeteer slash voice of ALF, Paul Fusco, to adapt the 80s sitcom into a CG live-action movie.
It's weird because it seems like Fusco and Patchett, the dudes that like created and voiced it, mm-hmm. seems like they want to do what we were talking about with Bill and Ted's, where it's...
make an adult ALF.
It's like darker, yeah. And like they explore that, but I don't think you can sell that. I really don't think ALF will sell too many dolls and too many toys if it's a family movie. I don't think you can sell a Ted movie starring ALF.
You don't?
I don't. I don't think you can just sell Ted starring ALF instead. I don't think it works.
Well, I mean, I guess it's...
I think you could sell the idea of a Ted-type movie that's family-friendly starring ALF. He doesn't have
I think
to.
You definitely, I think you could. I'm not sure how much kids are going to be attracted to ALF. They might get dragged because, you know, like, you might take your kids to see a family ALF movie because.
I would not.
You don't like ALF?
Not now. I don't need to.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if they were going to come out with a different ALF movie, maybe there would be folks of our generation that have kids now that would say, hey, listen, I've sat through, you know, whatever trashy kids movies you've wanted to see. This is a kids movie that I'm gonna like. You're gonna watch it. But I also think that, you know, if they did something a bit darker, a bit more adult, like I don't recall the series finale of ALF, but it would be interesting to see what he has been doing for the past 20 years.
I think they would just restart it.
I would not be as interested in, but this is still real early. Who even knows, you know, if we're going to get it. But, you know, the people that you need to be on board look like they're at least interested. Bret Easton Ellis fields 50 Shades of Rejection as he's left off the studio's shortlist of possible screenwriters for the adaptation of that book, that old lady porn book, which narrows it down to Dan Fogelman of Cars 1 and 2, Tangled and Bolt.
Makes sense.
Seems to make perfect sense. Absolutely.
He can write a fuck book.
Yeah. Venus Sud of The Killing and Cold Case, two incredibly popular, well-received shows. Kelly Marcel, Saving Mr. Banks and Terra Nova. And Karen Koerner, One True Thing. Who's your leader in the clubhouse?
I don't know. I'm the Cars guy? Cars.
God damn, yeah.
The like I just
can you even see that on the poster from the guy writer, that wrote
from
Cars?
The writer
yeah.
of Cars.
Yeah.
Come jerk your clits this summer. Like, this shortlist made no sense. Like, at least Easton Ellis has edge. Like, I just feel like they're going to take this fuck book and, like, tone it down and Hollywood it up so much that just take everything away of what's made the movie, what's made the book so popular.
From what I understand, wouldn't they have to tone it down a bit just to get an R?
It's an S&M fuck book.
Yeah, but, I mean, wouldn't they would have to, they'd have to roll back on that a little bit. I mean...
I really hope Anna Kendrick doesn't play Anastasia, because I would see it if she did, and I don't want to see this movie.
I don't know anything. Is Anastasia the main chick? Is that
yeah.
what it is?
Yeah.
In this fuck book?
Yeah.
And that would obligate you to see the movie?
Yes.
All right. Whatever.
And probably Fred Willard. He jerked off in a movie theater and got arrested.
You didn't take the obvious Pee-wee. You went.
No, I updated it.
Okay. Well, good for you. It's the Ender of the World as we know it, and I feel fine about seeing the Ender movie in IMAX next November.
What's, I don't know, what is it?
Really? You've not, you've never read any of the Orson Scott Card Ender's books?
Ender's Game?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Ender's Game?
Yeah.
Okay, Ender's, it's that video game. It's a fucking movie. Last Starfighter.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Ender's Game is essentially Last Starfighter,
no,
isn't it?
No, it's not. Last Starfighter.
What's the plot of Ender's Game? Tell me the plot of Ender's Game.
I will tell you the plot of Ender's Game. He goes to battle school where he learns. Okay. Well, do I? No, I don't want to tell too much about the plot because.
It's fucking Last Starfighter.
No. The guy, Ender, got picked to go to battle school because he's fucking smart. This kid in Last Starfighter got picked because he was playing a video game that he happened to be really good at. So they said, here, get in this spaceship and do what you did playing the video game. It's not quite the same. Not quite.
But similar.
It's similar in that there's video games involved.
Yeah, that's my point. That's the only thing I was going at.
But there's video games involved in war games, too. There's video games involved in The Wizard, and it's not like those.
No, but it's like Last Starfighter, which is a great movie.
It's not a great movie.
I think it still holds up.
Okay.
I think it's an awesome movie.
All right. Fine. You might be the last person in the world that feels that way. White House up. White House down, getting moved to November 2013 to a prime from November 2013 to a prime June 28th, 2013 release. Yep, that's the weekend before the 4th of July. Patriotism. Now we'll likely arrive before Olympus Has Fallen, which may see a title change to the bitch of the White House, right?
No, no. Olympus Has Fallen is staying. White House Down might see a title change.
To the bitch of the White House.
Why? That's a good title.
It is.
White House Down is actually a good title. So, but they're talking about changing it. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Where Olympus Has Fallen, that's a terrible title.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, at least with White House Down, you know that it involves the president. Olympus Has Fallen, I don't know if Olympus is code word for something, but it
president?
Doesn't scream president to me.
Yeah. No, White House Down's a good title.
Yeah, so that's the one that's going to get changed. Yeah, that makes sense. Universal apparently not in a big hurry to see Ron Howard's Formula One movie Rush, starring Chris Hemsworth. The release date was pushed back to September 20th, 2013.
Eh.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I can't.
No.
I don't care about Formula One. Or Ron Howard, for that matter.
I like Hemsworth, but...
Maybe we'll see. Talk a little about a Chris Hemsworth movie later. The perks of not opening against The Master could mean a better box office for The Perks of Being a Wallflower move back a week to September 21st. I think it also avoids that liberal arts movie. We'll probably
Which
talk a little
looks
bit about later.
Similar.
Yeah, very similar.
Same ideas.
Guillermo del Toro's horror movie that he's producing, Mama, set to release January 18th, 2013.
I'll see anything. His hands on something, just, I'll see it.
I cannot say the same thing. I'm interested for Pacific Rim. I've seen enough of that that's got me interested, but was not a giant fan of The Orphanage.
But did you see it?
Yeah.
You watched it?
I watched it,
that
but...
That was fucking depressing.
I didn't really like it.
That made me sad.
It made me sad, too. I was like, fuck, I could be anywhere else right now.
I'm not gonna say I enjoyed it. It's good.
Shit.
I'll watch what he produced. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Which for the last 5 minutes, except for the last five
didn't
minutes,
didn't watch that. I was a big fan of the show. Not
it was
so much
okay
the
for except for the last like 5 minutes. I'll see whatever he does though.
Okay, you can see that and tell me all about it. The 48 FPS version of The Hobbit, which I'm hoping to see, but it's gonna be kind of hard, being very limited release. Possibly even some major cities out. Warner Brothers says that it's due to many of the theaters not being ready tech-wise to handle it, but are not rolling it out in wider release if the reception is good.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is saying it's because studios or the movie
true.
Theaters aren't ready.
They're not.
No, it's a software upgrade that's going to be available in September.
But theaters still have to buy it. They still have to be ready to do the movie. And they may not. Because really, this is the only movie that's requiring that. I don't know how much it would cost to update your facilities for one movie that may or may not start a rash of other movies being filmed
in
this way.
It's been shot dead already.
Yeah,
I think.
It probably
like,
won't.
I think this revolution has been destroyed before it even got started. Like, they shot Paul Revere before he even left the stable on this one.
I would like to have had the opportunity to make up my mind for myself, you know, not just a select group of people.
I know.
Saw a trailer.
But the thing is the trailer they saw, the stuff they saw, wasn't finished.
Right.
It was polished later. People that have seen the second preview of it, of the 48, say it looks 1,000 times better than that first one. But because the backlash was so big there, you're just going to not put it out.
Well, it's gonna make it. It's gonna get out. And I think that, you know, if we can't see it in the theater, you know, maybe there'll be a possibility for you know, when the DVD release comes out, you can see it 24, you can see it, you can buy it 24 or 48, whatever, and you know, maybe that's what it's gonna take. You know, if the DVD versions at 48 sell real well, then maybe, you know, we'll do something. The other two movies, who knows, maybe will be 48 or not. Who knows? You want to see the Stanley Kubrick movie that Stanley Kubrick never wanted you to see? Well, you're in luck, because he's dead, and this 1953 movie, Fear and Desire, is coming to Blu-ray on October 23rd, despite him fighting for decades to make sure that it remained unseen.
Yeah, he just didn't want anybody to see it, and he's been dead long enough now that fuck him, pretty much.
Kind of like the holiday special with George Lucas. Doesn't want you to see that.
Yeah, but he's still
I can
alive.
Understand that. I think that's what they keep telling us. Bob Hoskins has retired from acting after being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
That bums me out.
Yeah.
Because he still shows up in stuff. Like, he was in Doomsday a few years ago. Mm-hmm. The Unleashed, he was pretty cool in. Was that Jet Li?
Yeah, I was trying to think, like...
in the 80s he had, you know, Mario Brothers, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like, he's had an awesome career. And he's still good. So, I mean, yeah. He's been showing up in these small supporting parts and just killing it. So,
but something like this, you can understand.
I understand him retiring. Yeah, it just bums me out.
It's a bummer. You know, you hate to see people that have given you entertainment for so long out of the game. But, you know, we do have quite a back catalog.
Because he's had an amazing career. He's had an awesome career.
Definitely. But, you know, if anybody's... you know, deserves to be able to kind of ride off into the sunset on his own terms. Yeah, we'll definitely let him do that. Now, if I could just hijack the podcast for a little bit. This is a movie podcast. We usually talk about movies. I would like to take a couple seconds to talk about some girl problems that I'm having. I've got this fixation, I guess you might say. This particular young lady, I can't get her out of my mind. I think about the girl all the time, Dave. And that's Anna Kendrick. They put out a new... It's not a trailer. It's essentially just a clip.
You stole my obsession.
No, I really just co-opted it for the lead-in.
Oh, okay.
For this particular... I'm not actually obsessed with Anna Kendrick.
I am.
I like her.
I tweet at her every day to tell her how much I love her.
You know what? I'm going to say that that's probably true.
It totally is.
Jesus Christ. Christ. You don't tweet at her with the at movies on up, right?
No, I go from me.
Good. Yeah, you please. Because if there's going to be a restraining order, I'd prefer that it's filed against you and not me.
Good publicity.
Good publicity for Red Dawn. That movie, the remake of the action flick from the 80s, has been, I think it's been done for a long time.
It's been done
it?
For a long time.
They've waited now until... after, and I think it's been kind of smart, or it's just worked out well for them.
It's not smart. It got pushed back, kept getting pushed back, because it was bad, and it was originally Chinese people invading. Yeah. They're digitally altering them to be North Korean, and then you luck into Hemsworth and Hutcherson being at, like, the height of where they're going to be right
Maybe
now.
Maybe the two biggest movies of the year, two of the three biggest
Here's
movies
the thing,
of the year,
though,
I would say.
Red Dawn was I enjoy the first one.
Yeah.
It's a hard premise to sell in 86.
Was it?
Yeah. It's still pretty out
People
there.
People are so goddamn afraid of communists.
I know. But it was sellable, but yeah. It wasn't the easiest sell. Now you're going to try to sell that same story? But he's not even a high school kid. Chris Hemsworth is
a
Marine.
He's a returning Marine.
Who? What?
But no, wait.
I don't want to see that.
They weren't all high school kids. The one older brother wasn't.
Swayze wasn't.
Yeah. And I think that's what Hemsworth is playing the Swayze character. It's just he's happens to be a battle-trained Marine this time. Whereas Swayze wasn't.
Yeah. It looks like Hemsworth is just going to give cliche line after cliche line. Like, rah-rah, pump-em-up stuff. It just doesn't, and nothing about this looks appealing to me.
I think maybe nostalgia would make me want to see it. I don't know that, you know, they're not going to be able to tell the story any different. Like you're saying, it is pretty much the exact same thing. It's America's being taken over by, you know, pick your enemy du jour at this point. It's not the Chinese because we owe them way too much money. It's the North Koreans because we don't owe them anything. And it doesn't take much to change the Chinese folks into Korean folks.
So ridiculous. Like, at least they didn't go the battleship route and it's aliens. Although I would rather see an alien invasion movie than a Red Dawn remake.
The Faculty was good. That was Alien Invasion in high school.
I wouldn't say it was good. It was worth a watch.
I thought it was good. You're wrong. You're wrong, motherfucker. The next one we're going to talk about, I actually thought that you put it on, but apparently I put it on. I'll put on a bunch of trailers, and then I'll watch them at the end, so sometimes I get surprised. This movie, pleasant surprise, is directed by the son of David Cronenberg, and it's essentially a movie where people are so obsessed with celebrities that whatever kind of like herpes or AIDS a celebrity has got, people will buy it and inject it into themselves.
The movie is called Antiviral.
It is called Antiviral. That is a fact.
The trailer, it's weird. It didn't do it for me.
Really?
Yeah. You're more Cronenberg-y than me, though. He's definitely his father's son.
Yes.
Just based on this 2-minute trailer, he is a Cronenberg.
Yeah, the apple did not fall too far from the Cronenberg. I think it looks neat, and I think it does a really good job in the trailer, like, I mean, everything is, the white is so white.
Yeah, like, I mean, it just didn't show me enough. Like, I understand there's an idea there, but I'm not sold yet.
You know what? I think what sold me was Cronenberg. What I saw of it, okay, he's pretty, I mean, he clearly, you know, is his father's son. So I think that's enough for me to be able to say that it looks cool. The idea sounds pretty interesting, too, with the way people are so fucking obsessed with celebrities. It wouldn't shock me. You know, I mean, we've seen used napkins and shit sold on eBay. Like, Timberlake blew his nose with this Kleenex and motherfuckers would buy it. And so I don't think we're that far away from this already. And yeah, it looks neat. 3-2-1, Frankie Goes Boom also looks kind of neat. Hellboy looking ridiculous in this trailer. It's a crossdresser.
I think it's awesome. Charlie Hunnam's going to be showing up in a lot of movies over the next couple of years.
Sure is.
He's got quite a few done already. He's going to just get bigger after Pacific Rim.
Probably show up again in this podcast.
I think it looks funny. It's Charlie Hunnam and Chris Dowd, whatever his name is, the guy from Bridesmaids.
Yeah. One of the guys from Sex and the City, yeah. Was it
Christopher Noth is in it? Yeah. That was a weird pull.
Well, fuck, I don't know.
But
I've not seen any of those neither shows. Neither have
I. That's
movies,
why I was shocked you
I
went
think
there.
That's one.
But no, it looks funny. It looks interesting. There's something about a sex tape that gets out there, and somebody doesn't want it out there.
Yeah. They get Charlie Hunnam gets videotaped. His brother videotapes him having sex with Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan.
And Lizzie Kaplan's dad somehow gets a hold of the tape. I think is he a porn director?
He's something.
He's something weird. But long story short, he doesn't want the dad to see it, so he's trying to get it back, and all sorts of madness ensues. Plenty of madness ensues in The Loft. It's James Marsden, Eric Stone Street, the gay guy, the big gay guy, Big Cam from Modern Family.
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, Judge Dredd.
There's a lot of noticeable names in this, but this movie looks so, the trailer's so forgettable. It looks horrible.
The plot, when I started reading it,
this
sounded
cool. This group of
cool.
friends get a fuck pad that only they have keys to. And then some chick ends up dead in there.
And they're trying to figure out who
Isabel
did it.
Lucas is in it, and it's...
That part of it, I think, sounds kind of cool, but when they start immediately saying that it's probably one of the wives or one of the girlfriends, in the trailer, that's who they're...
When you watch... The premise sounds okay.
That's what I mean. The premise
sounds
cool,
but...
then
you watch the trailer, and it's like, oh, this is going to be garbage.
I think it'll be interesting to see a scruffy-looking Cam, like, pound a chick. That's what I'm into. Yeah, I like the Bears.
Jesus Christ.
What? I think they're poised for a run in the NFC North. unofficial sequel to
Knocked Up.
Yeah. This is 40. It's Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann's character. They get their own sort of spinoff movie where she's approaching 40. I'm guessing he's probably already there.
It's Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
It's Judd Apatow.
Mm-hmm.
It basically looks like a Judd Apatow biopic, which in Knocked Up, Paul Rudd was basically playing Judd Apatow. He's married to his wife. His kids are playing his kids. So I think this is going to be a really personal movie from Judd Apatow. I think it'll be great. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it looks really funny. The trailer's funny.
There's a lot of good gag. Even the poster is a good gag. Like, just him sitting on the toilet.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. I just, the one I saw, just, it was white with This Is 40.
I think it'll be good. I like Apatow. His movies tend to go about 20 minutes too long, up until then, I love him. So,
and Brooks is the dad. Looks really good.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. So check that one out. You'll get a couple laughs out of the trailer at least. Now we're on to On the Road. If you want a couple laughs and maybe a couple jollies, you can kind of watch the trailer where Kristen Stewart apparently gets a double handy, which I missed. But this is the adaptation of the Jack Kerouac novel. But nobody's...
The unnecessary adaptation. And they got a good cast in there. They got good actors in there somehow.
I mean, I think it's people, you know, are so into the source material that, like, they wouldn't have trouble finding good actors.
But it just seems like the people that are really into On the Road, I don't really think need a movie of it.
I don't think they're going to want a movie of it.
Exactly.
Those people aren't going to see it. It's people like me that are thinking, well, fuck, I don't really want to read the book, but at least I'll be able to talk to chicks at
parties. This movie's just made for people that want to see Kristen Stewart beat Nick off two dudes. I had to.
I'll pause for that one. Pause for the cause on that one.
I had to do that one.
And people that want to beat Nick off to her boobs. Because they're there too, apparently. I guess you'd say maybe Kerouac would be popular on a liberal arts campus. Probably not this movie called Liberal Arts. They'd be too hip for it. Josh Radnor is writing, directing, starring.
Yeah, it's his follow-up to Happy Thank You More Please, which I've heard is actually good. I've heard Happy Thank You More Please was good. He's from How I Met Your Mother. I loathe that show, and he's one of the main reasons I hate it. He looks way off, way different. Like,
he has a beard.
Well, not looks-wise. Like, he doesn't... He looks like he's acting. Like, it doesn't look like the same guy. Like, it seems like he's actually... Maybe I just hate the character on How I Met Your Mother. I like Elizabeth Olsen, but this still doesn't... He's what, an out-of-work professor?
He goes back
and falls in love with like an 18-year-old Elizabeth Olsen?
Yeah, it looks a little creepy, I guess. I don't know. To me, this screamed like a movie that you would like with Elizabeth Olsen. You know, kind of the offbeat indie dramedy, maybe. But apparently... You're not too much into that.
I just need to see something else from Josh Radnor. Because all I see him as is Ted on How I Met Your Mother, which I hate. But I haven't watched enough of it. He shouldn't be ingrained in my head as that character. Role. So, I mean, I would watch it with an open mind. But I'll check out Happy Thank You More Please at some point, too. But
and then go best 2 out of 3 to see if you like the guy or not.
Yeah.
Best 2 out of 3 for Wreck. I've seen one out of, well, the third one's not out yet. They just released a trailer for it. I missed the second one, Wreck, of course. The remake, the original, which was remade as Quarantine over here in the States. It was a Spanish flick. I think Wreck 2 was on a plane.
Yeah, see, I didn't see Wreck 2.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the trailer for Wreck 3.
The trailer for Wreck 3 is essentially Wreck at a wedding.
That's what I thought. I saw a poster.
Yeah, the poster with the bride with the chainsaw. That definitely happens in the trailer. But to be honest with you, I don't know. It just looks like, you know, this is a... And we can argue whether it's a zombie movie or an outbreak movie, but it's one of those genres at a wedding, which, I mean, I haven't really seen before, I guess. It's another one of those things where does it need to be Wreck? Could it be any other movie?
Yeah.
And it would
I
be,
mean, at this point, they're just using the name.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe that's got some bank. Maybe it doesn't. I mean, the trailer, it doesn't look, you know, remarkable. It looks, imagine a zombie at a wedding. Like, if you've ever sat at a wedding and wanted to know what it'd be like if zombies tore the place apart, just watch this movie and it'd probably be all your fantasies fulfilled. Last movie we're going to talk about, I kind of just added it on here at the last minute because it comes out in limited release this week, and that is The Awakening. It's, to me, it looks like a period version of Red Lights, which was that movie with Cillian Murphy and Sigourney Weaver where they're, if you'll pardon the pun, sort of Ghostbusters. They're trying to, you know, find out, you know, if De Niro is a bit of a charlatan. In this movie, it's kind of the same thing, where they're trying to essentially find out whether or not there's an actual ghost at this school, which Dominic West is the headmaster of. So they're just, you know, doing your 1910 version of Ghost Hunters, I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't look that remarkable.
We've seen it a million times. We'll see it a million more times.
And it's creepy kid. And I think that's kind of played out too. But show a little support for my boy McNulty. Also in limited release, Cosmopolis, Compliance, Frank the Robot, and Why Stop Now. I think this is some pretty strong.
Frank and Robot.
Yeah. What did I say? Frank the Robot.
Okay. This is an awesome. I want to see. I would see Cosmopolis.
That's
it.
Robert Pattinson.
I really want to see Compliance.
That was the Dateline one about the girl at the McDonald's.
I really want to see Frank and Robot.
That would be the one for me, yeah.
And I'd see Why Stop Now.
Yeah, it was Tracy Morgan as a drug dealer.
I'm sure it has its moments. I don't think it's going to be solid all the way through, but it probably has a few good laughs
here.
Funny
enough,
there.
Worth a watch.
Yeah.
Okay. In wide release this week, maybe not as strong. Expendables 2.
They're already talking Expendables 3.
Which is fine.
News came out today. They want Eastwood.
Yes.
Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage, I think, is already on board.
Great.
As like the main villain. And Snipes.
Yep. Okay. They can do Expendables whatever until they're all dead. I don't care. I haven't even seen this one yet. Don't care. I'm going to see it. Was the first movie great? No, it wasn't. But I fucking love all those dudes. I know they're older and shit.
I'm going to keep skipping them.
They look like hell. That's fine because there'll just be more room in the theater for me and my raging erection. Big fan of the Expendables.
Speaking of raging erection,
Odd Life of Timothy Green as well.
Oh, no. I was talking Paranorman.
Oh.
Anna Kendrick's voice.
Yeah, her voice, but I'm a Jennifer Garner guy. She's in
Paranorman opens wide this week.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Which,
we're skipping it.
No, I want to see it. Like, I wish my 3-year-old was calm enough to go to a movie because she loves zombies. I think she would love this movie, but I don't think she'll sit through it. So, it looks awesome. I think Paranorman's going to be fantastic.
I think it probably will be pretty good. Sparkle,
Whitney Houston, is it Jordan Sparks?
Probably
Sparksle.
That seems to make sense.
The Odd Life of Timothy Green is a Wednesday release.
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton and
Jennifer Garner
grow a kid.
Tree Man is a child. So what do you want to set the, which ones do you want to do over and under for? Just Expendables?
You want to do 40? 40 for Expendables?
I'm going to go under.
Really?
Yeah.
Bourne just did 38.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that people are going to be as clamoring to see Expendables 2.
I think they are.
I hope so.
I'm going over for Expendables. Paranorman's a rough sell. 25? I'm going under. I'd like to see it do well, but it's a rough sell.
I'll go over just because I'm trying to think what the other family movie is out right now.
The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
Well, between those two, I think,
I mean, I don't think, I don't see Timothy Green doing well, though.
No, I don't either.
I think it's in the 15 to 20 is the best case scenario. Sparkle, I don't think people care.
Well, I think you'll have the Whitney Houston fans, but apart from that, no. So officially, we're going to do 40 for Expendables. You've got over, I've got under. And then
25 for Paranorman,
which I took over and you're going to take under.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough. Watch this week. I've noticed that we both have movies written in here.
I crossed mine out and changed it, though.
Oh, you did?
Well, I had Way of the Gun written,
you did.
But I mentioned it earlier. One of the most underrated movies ever. Watch it.
Yeah.
I crossed it out because on DVD Tuesday, the Raid Redemption releases. If you go back to our halftime show a lot of our listeners submitted best of lists had The Raid on it. So
yeah,
it's a cool movie. It's out on Blu-ray DVD tomorrow or Tuesday today.
Yeah, lots of action, lots of ass kicking in that movie. Definitely worth a watch. I didn't cross mine out, although I did mention it earlier. It is Dead Snow. I said, you know, if you're interested to see what a zombie movie would be like at a wedding, you know, check out Rec 3. If you're interested to see what a zombie movie might be like with Nazi zombies, then Dead Snow is your jam. The movie itself, kind of unremarkable, but there's a pretty good amount of gore.
There's cool stuff in
it. There's cool deaths. So I think it's definitely, it's entertaining. It's not the best zombie movie I've ever seen, but it's also not the worst. It has been streaming on Netflix for quite a while. So I think it's definitely worth a watch. It can maybe get you pumped up to see this Jeremy Renner joint, see, you know, what this director is capable of. So, yeah, Dead Snow, check it out. If you see any of those three movies, we'll throw Away the Gun in there too. I think we can both endorse that.
It's a good movie.
Would you call it like a neo-Western, maybe?
Yeah, but that might turn people off. It's got a Western vibe to it, but it's not a Western.
Yeah, no, it's not set
the
in the
characters
Wild West
are
like
essentially modern cowboys.
Yeah.
They're just drifters that want to make money. It's a crime thriller, I would say.
Yeah, and the performances are really good, too.
Everybody in that movie is so good.
Yeah, check it out.
Everybody is so good.
And when you do, tweet at us, at Movies On Up. Let us know what you think of any of those movies, Way of the Gun, Dead Snow, or whatever the fuck
the
you
Raid
said.
The Raid Redemption.
Instead. Oh, yeah, Raid. Most of you already have got at us on The Raid, but you know, if you haven't seen it yet and you do, let us know. You can post something on our page somewhere, I imagine, in the comments section. Of one of our episodes, you can tell us you saw The Raid, preferably this one, and that you liked it. That's moviesonup.com. Or you can
hit us up on Twitter at moviesonup, movies on up at gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook, search Movies On Up, or get to it through our site, or go to iTunes, leave us a review. That's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And wouldn't it be more fun if we had more than two?
Yeah, but no, reach out to us in some way. If you listen to the show, let us know what you think. I can be found personally at Dave Bacella on Twitter. I have other podcasts, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, and Pod Black and Goldcast. Steelers football is starting, so that's my Steelers podcast. Those both have new episodes this week.
And Anna Kendrick, you can get at us.
Anna Kendrick 47, tweet her and tell her at Dave Bacella is in love with her.
Or how about we just tell her to listen to our podcast?
Yeah.
Actually, no, that probably wouldn't be good either.
No, tell her to listen to the podcast.
But not this one.
No, all of them.
Okay, any of them.
Anyway, hit us up.
Hit us up before you hit her.
Don't hit her. You'll have to hear from me.
Hit us up before you hit her up. Keep it up.